This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Make no mistake, anti-Semitism is the smokescreen of hell. The smokescreen of hell, so says, well, Greg Dunham, in a special letter that he wrote to ChristianPost.com, and we're going to talk about that here today on Viewpoint as we take a look at what's happening around the world. It is indeed an explosion of anti-Semitism and an effect to eradicate the Jew from the earth, to eradicate the Jew from the earth, which we call in our normal conversation anti-Semitism, but in fact, it's the precursor to Christian persecution. So I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And in fact, this violence is just sweeping the earth, as we know. All of the news media is filled with the attack, a 50-year-old suspected shooter, together with his son, there in Bondi Beach in Australia. The death toll now rises to 16, 40 wounded after the gunman opened fire on a Hanukkah celebration. 16 dead, 40 wounded. Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese described the Bondi Beach massacre as an attack deliberately targeted at the Jewish community. Well, indeed, that is true. But he also called it, well, he called it an action of right-wing terrorists, right-wing extremists. No, they were not right-wing extremists. They were Muslims. And in Australia, Muslims are seen as sacrosanct from any accusation because, by definition, well, with multiculturalism, religious pluralism, and political correctness running the show down there in Australia and in New Zealand, it seems that anybody is sacrosanct except for Christians. So we can well expect, though, that if you're going to allow Islam to take over a Western country such as Australia and like New Zealand and like France and like Germany and like the UK, it seems like Islam is being given not the boot, but the blessing. Not the boot, but the blessing. And when you do that in the fundamental purpose, according to Muhammad, in his final expressions of the Quran and also in the Hadith, were to look and hunt down Christians and Jews wherever you find them. Look behind every tree. Wherever you find them, hunt them down and eradicate them. That was the rule of Muhammad. Now, there are many followers of Islam out there who are not fundamentalist followers of Islam, who don't necessarily buy into all of that and certainly would not act upon it. That's true. No question about it. But the fundamentalist Islam requires that they obey the Quran, obey the rules of the Hadith, and so on. And one might say, as George W. Bush said, after the 9/11 extravaganza by 19 Muslim deputies from Saudi Arabia, he said, well, Islam is a peaceful religion. Now, George W. Bush had no clue what he was talking about, but he believed what somebody else told him based upon the earlier writings of Muhammad, when he thought that he was gaining favor of the Jews and the Christians, but when they resisted his advances and his demands that they embrace a false Messiah and embrace him as the final, shall we say, apostle of truth. Well, indeed, he turned tail on the Jews and the Christians and all of the so-called peaceful rhetoric that you find elsewhere in the Quran all of a sudden turned to absolute unmitigated violence. And that's where people make their mistake. They do not understand, and they're being given a false understanding of the Quran, of Islam, from the position of Muhammad. And unfortunately, that's the world that we now live in, and the mistakes of that have been sowed ever across the world ever since 9/11. Well, indeed, as Greg Dunham said, anti-Semitism has become the smokescreen of hell. We'll look more directly into that as we proceed with the program today. So I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. It's conversation as always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and today is no exception. We know from the news tells us the facts of what took place. The facts of what took place there in Bondi Beach, there, a very famous beach apparently, where somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 Jewish revelers were gathered on the first day of Hanukkah. Now, the first day of Hanukkah in Australia came earlier than the first day of Hanukkah in the United States because of the time zones. The first day of Hanukkah in the United States began December 14th in the United States as well. So the death toll from that Bondi Beach terror attack rose to 16, including one child who died at the hospital. The South Wales police have confirmed the number of wounded also rose to 40 and added that four more of the wounded were children. Well, I'm not sure exactly why that is overly important. They're all people. They're all people. Australian authorities have identified one of the gunmen who opened fire at the Hanukkah celebration as a 23-year-old Naveed Hakram, as new details emerged about the target attack that authorities are treating as terrorism. It was Islamic terrorism. Not just terrorism, but Islamic terrorism. 11 people were killed and 29 others were wounded in the shooting initially, then ultimately a total of 16. Video footage shared by Sky News showed two men dressed in black firing rifles toward the beach from a pedestrian bridge above a nearby parking area at about 6:40 p.m. on Sunday. We know about one of the fighters, gunmen, being tackled by a bystander before retreating. And that man, 43-year-old Ahmed Al-Hamed, a local shop owner, is being deemed to be a hero because of how he attacked one of the shooters. The attackers targeted an event marked the start of Hanukkah that drew families to the popular beach. A rabbi was killed there, and we want to take a look at why.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Today we're taking a look at what has happened there in Australia, but it's not just Australia. Australia is just one example. It's the largest example in the last few days, but it's just one example of anti-Semitism of a virulent form sweeping the entire earth. In California, a gunman fired 20 bullets into a Jewish family's Hanukkah-decorated home in Riverside, excuse me, in Redlands, California. I'm well aware of that location, having spent 30 years as a resident in Southern California. This family's home was clearly Jewish. They had decorated the exterior for Hanukkah. And according to door cam footage, the suspect shouted anti-Semitic slurs such as F the Jews as he fired at the home from his car 20 times or more than 20 times. The man was virulently anti-Semitic, anti-Jew. Anti-Jew is anti-Semitic. And it is one more illustration of what is happening around the world. Then, in addition to that, we know in Germany, another attack on a Christmas celebration there. An attack on a Christmas celebration, a Christmas market. Five arrested in an Islamist-motivated plot to attack a Christmas market. You say, well, I thought we were talking about anti-Semitism. Well, we are. We're talking about anti-Semitism as the precursor to massive Christian persecution. If you think that this is just exclusive to the Jews, you are radically mistaken. Radically mistaken. Five men have been arrested on suspicion of planning an Islamist-motivated vehicle attack at Christmas market in southern Germany. The suspects had intended to drive a car into a crowd, aiming to kill or injure as many people as possible, according to authorities. Three Moroccans, an Egyptian, and a Syrian were detained Friday on suspicion of planning to drive a vehicle into a Christmas market there in the district of Bavaria. Prosecutors said formal arrest warrants were issued for four men, with the fifth held in preventative custody. The arrests followed surveillance that allegedly uncovered discussions among the men about using a vehicle to carry out the attack. The Egyptian, a 56-year-old imam, Muslim priest, allegedly called for the attack at a mosque in that district, and said that the Moroccans, aged 22, 28, and 30, had agreed to execute the plan, while the 37-year-old Syrian was accused of encouraging them. You have to wonder why. Does one have to wonder why the motivation, or ask the question, what could possibly be the motivation? No, that's gamesmanship on the part of politically correct law enforcement that just are just afraid, almost ashamed, to be able to identify and willing to identify not only the perpetrators, but the reason for the perpetration of these anti-Semitic acts and also the acts of persecution. In fact, in Nigeria, an expert is warning of another Christmas massacre. Christmas massacre? Yes. A religious freedom advocate is warning of the potential for another Christmas massacre in Nigeria as Christians in the country continue to experience targeted attacks on an unprecedented level. Now, it's not the Jewish people that are particularly attacked there. It's the Christians. Over 7,000 of them in the past year or so have been murdered by Islamic terrorists. The event, an emergency summit on crimes against Christians, was held at the Capitol in Washington last Tuesday, where political leaders and experts on persecution discussed statistics documenting the scope of Christian persecution worldwide and efforts to combat it. Among the speakers was a Nigerian academic whose family members were killed in a targeted attack earlier this year, and a religious freedom activist who issued a stark warning about a pending Christmas massacre. What we're seeing, friends, is the rise of both anti-Semitism, the persecution of Jews. That's what anti-Semitism is. It's the rejection and persecution of Jews, and also coupled with it, the persecution of Christians. First comes the anti-Semitism of the Jewish people, which become the scapegoats of the world. Then comes the persecution of Christians on its heels. Having done away with the Jewish people, now the Christians become the target. Truth Nigeria gained a lot of credibility and a lot of trust among locals in Nigeria, said one gentlemen, he said, our organization has issued over 100 terror alerts since 2023 with 89% accuracy. So we know where the attacks are going to happen. We knew when they were going to occur and were notified the Nigerian government of every instance, and every attack has been ignored. Every alert, every warning has been ignored. We know that another attack is being planned. Now, let's contrast this with what happened in Australia. In Australia, the President of the United States had warned the Australian Prime Minister of their playing footsie with Islam and anti-Semitism. Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, had sent a letter to the Prime Minister of Australia, warning him, saying, you are playing with fire. You are facilitating, fostering and facilitating anti-Semitism and the persecution of Jews. Did the Prime Minister of Australia do anything about it? No. Why? Because he's sworn his allegiance to political correctness, multiculturalism, and religious pluralism. Also, that Jews have to be responsible, and if not the Jews, Christians. So Australia has also become, well, shall we say, not a friend of grace. Australia also has become an epicenter of Christian persecution, not just anti-Semitism, but Christian persecution. The same is true in New Zealand. These countries, friends, are part of the Western Hemisphere, you might say, part of the resurrected Roman Empire, because they're extensions of the people that came from the area of the Roman Empire and are now called part of the Western world, which is, for all practical purposes, the resurrected Roman Empire that Daniel spoke of as being in power in the last days. So when we begin to look at the bigger picture, we see something happening that should grab the attention of every Christian, should grab the attention of every politician, but of every Christian politician for certain, every pastor. But the interesting thing is that we're finding, even among so-called conservative Christians, a growing spirit of anti-Semitism. Who would have ever believed it? Such as Candace Owens and quite a number of folk, even Carlson in his program. It seems that there is this lack of recognition of the role of the Jewish people in the context of Christianity itself. Yes, blindness has come across them, as said the Apostle Paul, a Jew. He said, blindness has come across my people, the Jewish people, for a season. Why? So that the gospel of grace might be extended to the Gentile world for a period of time until the fullness of the Gentiles has come. Have we reached the time when the fullness of Gentiles has come? I believe we're right there. We're right there. Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom, gospel of the kingdom shall be preached until all the world is covered, and then shall the end come. That is the message engraved on the front of the Christian Broadcasting Network. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached, and then shall the end throughout the world, and then shall the end come. Well, it has been preached virtually throughout the world. The only groups that are left are very, 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 very small, tiny little groups where they have unique languages, but those that are translating the Bible have made monumental efforts, especially through modern computer efforts, in order to get the every single small language addressed by the Bible itself, available to them. And so we're at a point of time when, as the scripture says, the time of the Gentiles is coming to an end. Now, most of who are listening to this program are Gentiles, I believe. There might be some Jewish people, but for the most part, they're Gentiles, and they're Gentile believers in Jesus Christ as Savior, as Messiah, as King, and coming again to receive a remnant of people, both Jew and Gentile, who have committed their lives absolutely to Yeshua, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, the King of the world, so to speak, and have given their lives to him, and they will be merged together as two sticks into one to receive the blessing of the Lord and salvation from God. They are the ones who will be received by God. It's a small remnant of Jew and Gentile. The Bible is replete with that understanding, and we need to understand that. This is not a time for glib churchianity. This is not a time for jumping and shouting and clapping and hallelujahs by itself. We need to understand the seriousness of the moment. The seriousness of the moment will cause us to be sober-minded. The Apostle Peter said that we must be sober-minded, not glib-minded, but sober-minded. Taking things seriously, in other words. Looking at things with an honest evaluation. For a millennium, European Christians fought to keep militant Islam outside the Christendom's gates. Now, those same nations are dismantling their own Christian traditions because jihadist violence makes celebrating Christmas too dangerous and too costly. So it's not just the Jews celebrating Hanukkah, it's Christians celebrating the coming of Christ. Making jihadist violence, making celebrating the coming of Christ too dangerous. And make no mistake, says Virgil Walker, once a nation surrenders its public celebration of Christmas, the surrender of its churches and Christianity itself is not far behind. What begins with canceled Christmas celebrations ends with emptied cathedrals and a faith driven underground, not by persecution, but by a calculated decision that defending it costs too much. So he says, consider what's happening with Germany's Christmas markets. These season-long festivals become an official German tradition in 1434. They run through the Advent season, or an intrinsic part of German culture and tourism. Tens of millions of tourists travel. Numerous small towns there. All the things that are offered there in these German Christmas markets. But this year, the town of Overath canceled its Christmas market. So did Kirpen. Dresden shuttered several of its smaller markets. These are not isolated decisions driven by declining interest. They're cancellations that represent something far more ominous. Western civilization surrendering public expressions of Christianity because the price of protecting citizens from Islamic terror has become prohibitive. Wow. Friends, that's where we are. It's unbelievable, but it is true. Again, you're listening to Viewpoint. Viewpoint does determine destiny. And today we're just not giving a bunch of information out there that titillates the imagination and causes us to mourn. But
there is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
All over the world, the laments are going up. How could this possibly happen in Australia? How could this possibly happen in formerly Christian Germany, where Martin Luther came from? How could this possibly happen in the United States of America? How could this possibly happen in France? How could all of these things possibly happen in the Western world? How could they be happening in Russia that claims to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ? That's right. Vladimir Putin believes, and so do many Russians, believe a prophecy that came out of the 1500s that Russia would be the third Rome and there would never be another. That actually represents the true Rome, the true church. Well, this is happening all over the world, friends. Now, we're looking at this from a much bigger perspective here today. It's not just about the things that are happening that come right in front of our eyes. The question is, why are they happening? Where is it going? And how should we respond? Very few want to talk about why it's happening. They want to talk about that it's happening, and they get people's attention. But they don't want to talk about why it's happening. And they don't want to talk about the greater reason of why it's happening, because the Bible actually said it was going to be happening. Oh, but if we talk about that, then that gets us in trouble, doesn't it? That's why nobody wants to talk about the whys. It's always the who, what, where, and when. But the why gets short shrift. And that's one reason why I wrote the book, When Persecution Comes. Preparing hearts for perilous times, friends. If your attention is not gathered yet from the things that you're seeing parading across the news all over the world, leaders all over the world are talking about this. In fact, so great, I have in front of me a stack of articles a half an inch thick talking about how far, see, Australia's media downplayed anti-Semitism, downplayed it. That's what leaders across the world have been doing. Israeli leaders decry the Bondi Beach attack on Australian Jews. Israeli foreign minister warns Australian foreign minister after the Hanukkah massacre that words have consequences. Iran prepped the terror cells to target Australian Jewish targets. Mike Huckabee criticizes Australian Prime Minister's response to the Bondi Beach attack. The Hanukkah message in Australia, it's not territory, it's anti-Semitism. On and on. Hatred of Israel is hatred of all Jews. And that's just the beginning of the articles. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. Years ago, Michael Oren had written a book called Power, Faith, and Fantasy. Power, Faith, and Fantasy. And he joined us on this program. He was a senior fellow Hold degrees in Middle East history from Columbia and Princeton. And he has been revered as a very knowledgeable observer of history as it relates to Arabs, the Jews, and Christians. Here's what he says in chapter 24 of his book. An insoluble conflict evolves. In spite of sporadic tensions, Arabs and Jews in Palestine managed to avoid major internecine clashes in the period before World War I. The Zionist community continued to expand, numbering 75,000 people by the war's end, many of them residing in communal or kibbutz cooperatives, or in modern Israel's first Jewish city, Tel Aviv. New national institutions were devised to assist in the settlement process, to develop infrastructure and disseminate a resurgent Hebrew culture. The defeat of the Turks eliminated the last restrictions on Jewish immigration and land purchases. Large swaths of territory in Galilee and along the coast were consequently bought by Jews and rapidly settled. Diplomatically also, the Zionist movement seemed to have achieved an irreversible momentum. The text of the Balfour Declaration, issued in 1917, and promising support for the establishment of a Jewish national home, was embedded in the League of Nations mandate through which Britain ruled Palestine. Herzl's dream of creating an independent Jewish state in Eretz Israel, or the Land of Israel, appeared to be imminently coalescing. But half a million Arabs in Palestine were scarcely included in that vision. And because of the radical view, Muslim view, of Genesis chapter 17, where God says that the promise that he is making and has made to Abraham will be only through Isaac, not through Ishmael. The Arab nation and the Muslim world insist that that is a wrong translation and that it really meant that the seed of the promise was Ishmael, not Isaac. And from that moment on, the antagonism between Arab and Jew, and then the Muslim world and Jew, began. That was, what, 5,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago? So this is a long-standing thing. This is not something that's just current. It has been growing and growing and growing. But here is what is not recognized, not generally, and that is, as anti-Semitism has also been common to the Jewish people throughout all of the world. Even Shakespeare recognized it, talked about it. And that being the case, what is not so recognized is that persecution of Christians has also been common throughout history and the world. It began right there after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the day of Pentecost. From that moment on, persecution advanced. And the Apostle Paul was one of the first key motivators of the persecution. He presided over the martyrdom, the death of the first martyr of the Christian church, Stephen, until Paul's conversion. He had to be shocked into reality. God had to knock him off his high horse with a bright light and the words, "Paul, Paul, why do you persecute me? Why are you kicking against me?" So this is nothing new. But the Bible tells us that as we approach the end of the age and the culmination of the age of the Gentiles, persecution and anti-Semitism are going to grow monumentally. So I wrote the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, because that's where we are right now, friends. That's exactly where we are right now. It's a $25 book, yours for $22 on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. It's going to open up this whole subject in a way that you will never hear on the news. You'll just never hear it on the news. But this is about not just facts about what is happening or what's going to happen. It's also providing the answers for how we prepare for it and what we do, how you prepare your children, your grandchildren, their attitudes, the strengthening of courage and faith and so on, the role of fathers in this process. There's a whole chapter dealing with fathers, chapter dealing with families, a chapter dealing with the role of the body of Christ in responding. The centerpiece of the book is those three chapters. What should we do? How should we prepare? Preparing hearts for perilous times. It's not preparing guns for perilous times. It's preparing hearts for perilous times. Get a copy of the book, When Persecution Comes. I don't think you're going to be disappointed. It's not all about blood and guts, friends. It's about how to be prepared for that which God says, Jesus himself said, is going to happen. He said, don't be surprised. The Apostle Peter said, don't be surprised when they rise up against you and persecute you. Jesus said, when they say all manner of bad things against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so they persecuted the prophets that were before you. Jesus said it's going to rise up not just in the cultures around you. It's going to rise up in your own home. It's going to rise up inside the church. There are reasons for that, and you might want to find out in the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. All right. Now, we move forward here to look at another aspect of why this is happening. God has a reason. You say, are you saying that God caused these two guys, these two gunmen down in Australia to slaughter 16 people and wound 40 more? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the spirit of Islam against the Jewish people, and against Christians, by the way, will cause people to do what they did, and it will serve God's purposes, ultimately. You say, how could that possibly be? You're just about to find out. I hope you'll stay tuned, friends. You're listening to Viewpoint. Viewpoint does determine destiny. We need answers. We need to understand the greater picture, not just little facts that are contained on the news.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Anti-Semitism is not just prejudice and racist. It's antithetical to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It attacks the very truth. The cross reveals about God, humanity, and redemption. The gospel says mankind is separate from God in sin. Anti-Semitism says the problem is them, the Jews. It's Satan's cover fire, pointing at them, that is the Jews, allows humanity to avoid looking in the mirror and confronting their own sin. Anti-Semitism is the ultimate anti-gospel. Denying the universality of sin resurrects ancient blame-shifting, refuses God's grace, and even weaponizes Jesus, who was the most influential Jew in history, against his own people. Anti-Semitism is an affront to Jesus himself. After all, he was a Jew, and he's returning as a Jew. The Bible says salvation is of the Jews, right there in the New Testament. He who rejects and persecutes the Jews rejects and persecutes him who died for the sins of the Jews, and therefore allows every one of us as Gentiles to be grafted in if we will receive the Jewish Messiah as Savior and King. So, when we look at this matter of anti-Semitism, it is much broader than we might think. Much broader than we might think. Now, I want to take a look at what's happening in another dimension. And it also, it's connected directly to what the Bible says about the purposes, ultimately, of anti-Semitism. I hope you're listening now very carefully. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, the first 14 verses, by the way, this chapter is called The Blessings and the Cursings. It is a distillation or summary of the rest of the Torah right there in the first four books of the Bible that Gentiles refer to as the Pentateuch. In Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses go like this. Blessed will you be in the field, and blessed shall be your basket and your store. You're going to be blessed coming in and blessed going out. The Lord's going to pour out the blessings upon you. That's a distillation of what God says to Israel and the Jewish people in verses 1 to 14 of Deuteronomy 28. But that's conditioned on if you will obey the words of the Lord your God. See, it's if. If you, then I. If you, then I. By the way, that's the whole procedure in the whole Bible. If you, then I. If you will confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and follow him as Lord and obey his voice, then I will, what? I will give you eternal life. But if you will not, then there are consequences. Well, God lays that all out in his picture of the Jewish people in Deuteronomy 28. Starting at verse 15, he says, but if you will not obey my voice and will do your own thing and refuse as a stiff-necked people to follow me, then all these curses are going to come upon you. And for the next 40 verses or so, come all of these curses that are horrific coming upon the Jewish people. Now, that's right there in the Torah. This is the area of the Bible that they revere as ultimate God truth. But somehow they miss it. They've missed it for 4,000 years. 3,500 years, whatever it is. Ever since Moses led them out of Egypt. So, at the end of Deuteronomy chapter 28, it concludes by saying, and you know what? You're going to run for your life. In the morning you wish it were evening, in the evening you wish it were morning, for the fear that has come upon you. And ultimately, the Lord will take you back into Egypt, the spirit of Egypt. In other words, you'll trust everything but God. Now, that's a serious problem. But God said, I'm going to disperse you. You're going to be dispersed throughout the whole world, right there in Deuteronomy 28. Can you believe that? 3,500 years ago, God told him exactly what was going to happen. If you will not obey my voice. Now, the interesting thing is that God tells us what's going to happen if we will not obey his voice too. But we don't see it that way. Neither did the Jews. You see, we're as stiff-necked as they were and are. Kind of what goes around comes around. We don't see the reality of our times. They said, we are the chosen people. We're the seed of Abraham. So we got it made in the shade. We say we're Christians, we believe in Jesus, so we're chosen people, and we've got it made in the shade. And God says to both groups, not so fast, my friends. Jesus said, I'll call you my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Oh, really? He said that? Yes, he did. Now, those are not the only things that God said. He also said that after he drove the children of Israel out of the promised land, arrest Israel, and throughout the face of the earth because of their disobedience, that is, dissing obedience, that at a final day, he would bring them back. That they would be disciplined in that way for a short time. You see, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. So a short time would be like 2 days. So the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ occurred right at about 30 AD. So 2 days from then would bring us up to 2030 AD, wouldn't it? That would be 2 days. And if you want to go back to about when the 10 northern tribes were dispersed, that would be about 2.5 days. So God says, now, these things are going to happen to you, and it ain't going to be fun. You're going to be dispersed. It's called the diaspora throughout the earth. Jews are everywhere. 117,000 to 120,000 in Australia. But God said, I'm going to bring you back. Now, how is he going to bring the people back? He says, I'm going to send out, Jeremiah put it this way, I'm going to send out hunters and fishers, whatever it takes to bring you back. In other words, I'm going to make the situation so great, so miserable for you in the lands where you have put your trust instead of in me. And I'm going to make you run back to Eretz Israel. I'm going to make you come running back to Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. Now, they're going to come running back, and they're not going to come, most of them are not going to be running back to Jesus or Yeshua as Messiah. They're going to be running back to Israel as their safety. Benjamin Netanyahu urged the Jewish people to run back to Israel because there you're going to be safe. It's the only place in the world you're going to be safe, he said yesterday. So what is happening? What is happening is that God is fulfilling his promise. You will not hear this on the news because people will misinterpret it. They say, oh, God's killing off the people all over the world. No, he's not. Islam is killing them off. Others are killing them off, making life so miserable, so dangerous that they're fleeing. Since 2015, from France, 31,000 immigrants have left France for Israel. 31,000. It's called making Aliyah, to go up. Everything from around the world toward Israel is to go up. From the Ukraine and the former Soviet Union, the largest Aliyah in 30 years. Since 2022, the Ukraine war. Since 2023, Continued conflict in Ukraine and Ethiopia drove high numbers, over 46,000 in total in 2023. 2024, Aliyah from the former Soviet Union remains high, with tens of thousands arriving into Eretz Israel from the area of the former Soviet Union, that is the eastern portion of Europe. In essence, post-2015, Aliyah has been characterized by reactions to crises, terrorism, and war. With Ethiopia, it was humanitarian. In Argentina, it was because the economy exploded, not in a good way. And the Jews that were in Argentina said, we're out of here. There's no reason for us to be here. And now, with the godless voters in New York City, the largest city in America, 8 million people, having hired by election a dedicated Muslim who is calling for a global intifada, that is war against Israel, what do you expect? The Jewish people in New York are in fear. They see what's happening now in Australia. They see what's happening in Germany. They see what's happening in the UK. They see what's happening, and they're saying, wow, we thought this was our last stand here. Custer's last stand in New York, the largest concentration of Jewish people in one city outside of Israel. It's not safe anymore. We can't trust this man, Zohan Mamdani. He's calling for a global intifada, a war against Israel and the Jewish people. Are you beginning to see what's happening? God is fulfilling his purpose. He's bringing the Jewish people back, and it requires intense pressure. Do you know what the Bible how the Bible translates the word pressure? Tribulation. Great tribulation is coming to the Jewish people all over the world. Greater than they have ever, ever experienced. For a reason. God is allowing it to happen for a very good reason. To keep his promise that Israel, the Jewish people, have been given the land of Israel as an eternal leasehold inheritance. He said, you didn't treat me right, you didn't treat the land right, and I sent you out around the world to suffer for it. But now, I'm going to keep my promise to bring you back, not because you're so wonderful, not because you're so obedient, not because you're so good, but because my word is my bond. Question, what's going to happen with Christians? The same thing, my friend. That's why I wrote the book, When Persecution Comes. We're not ready. Your kids are not ready. You're not ready. Your pastors are not ready. We're living in a false world of false paradise, and it ain't going to go well if we're not prepared. Get a copy of the book, When Persecution Comes. $22 will put the $25 book in your hands on the website. Remember the special offer that we have made. All 11 of my books for just $150 plus $26 postage and handling. What an incredible, incredible gift that is for you for this season. To give, to receive, go to the website. Sign up for it today.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.